Let us give thanks. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to give back to you, and we pray that you would bless this church through its finance also, that it would bring you glory. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Well, good morning, church. Thank you for the opportunity to share God's word again with you this morning. And thank you to the band for leading us and Irene's enthusiasm. One day that'll carry over to the whole church, and we'll just dip into that a little bit as well. So all good, all good. So where am I at the moment? Okay, fine. This morning we continue in our series, Closer as Community. And I truly hope that this is a phrase that you're not going to become bored with or tired in any way whatsoever, because in so doing, losing its impact. Because one of the things that we are very deliberately trying to cultivate in our community is that closer as community. That's a very deliberate thing that we're trying to weave into the fabric of this church, that we become closer as community. And so far in this series, we've been reminded that closer as community means fellowship. And fellowship is more than that casual conversation, that socializing with food and fun, or perhaps even referral to a particular church that you may go to, as we often ask, where do you fellowship? Fellowship is far more than that. Mark has reminded us that it is in fact sharing and experiencing life together. That is what fellowship is. This includes unselfish loving, honest sharing, sacrificial giving, practical serving, sympathetic comforting, mercy, forgiveness, and a host of other things. This is fellowship. Closer as community also means that we are part of the family of God. And I really hope that you delight in being part of this family of God this morning. Church is a family. Joyce, I'm going to talk about you only just to say we were chatting very briefly yesterday, and those were words that came out of your mouth. Church is a family. Now, this is never going to be the perfect family, possibly because I'm in it, but church is a family. It's a family that comes together, it sets aside our differences, and we forget past mistakes and we rejoice in the smallest of victories. As part of this family, we're called to a sense of belonging, not just believing. There is a difference between the two. We're called to belong. We are connected to one another, whether you like it or not, and I hope you do. The Bible says that we are put together, we are joined together, we are built together, we are members together, we are fitted together and held together. And you know what? We will be caught up together. This is the family of God. So we come to the third part in our series this morning, and this is where we pick up God's word in 1 John chapter 4. And Mark has already read some verses from that, and I'm going to continue reading through possibly the same verses as well. I'm going to start, my text really was from verse 16, but I wanted to give it a bit of context and read from earlier, so it's from verse 7. So 1 John 4, chapter 4, verse 7 through to 21. It will be on the screen if you don't have your Bible with you. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how we know that God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we will live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. And if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For God does not love, anyone does not love God whom he, I've lost my space, just give me a second. I'm going to go back to 19. When we love because he first loved us, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love God, does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Excuse my stumbling through some of those words this morning. Let me ask you this question this morning, out with the context of what we've just read. If I had to, if you had to hear that word love, what would come to mind? Some of you might think of a specific person. You might think of more than one person or a number of people. Some of you may think of a book or a movie or a family holiday. Some of you may think of chocolate. We all have a different association with this love word, don't we? And love comes in various forms. It certainly does. Love is, maybe it's a little bit more abstract. To some of you, maybe it's a memory. Maybe it's a smell. Love is one of the most powerful forces in human experience, and it impacts us in more ways than we would ever possibly imagine. You probably don't need to be a genius to figure out this morning that the third leg of closer as community is love. I think the clue was 27 references in a mere 14 verses. Love one another. The sermon title writes itself. Love one another. And one of the greatest needs of human beings is to be loved. We all need to be loved. We all need to know that we are important to somebody and that somebody truly cares about us and wants us and accepts us unconditionally. And the good news is, from God's word, somebody does. To know him is to find release from the crippling effects of feeling unloved. For God is love. We've read it in verse 8, and we've read it again in verse 16. God is love. Now, there's no one attribute of God that is more important than the other, and every attribute is expressed in relation to each other. Yet some believe that love is one of the most powerful motivating forces in all of God's being, and it deeply affects everything else God is and that all that he does. And knowing God's love could well be the believer's key to a well-balanced, satisfying life of peace, of purpose, of productivity, and of power. To know God's love. And you remember some many months ago now, I preached that sermon on gnosko knowledge. Knowledge that is not just a knowledge that is a knowledge out there. It is an experiential knowledge. And knowledge, remember the air slate panels I spoke about? It is an experiential knowledge, something that you know, something that is absolutely vivid encounter that you know. And it's knowing this love of God. What did our great text say last week? I was so excited to see that text. It is absolutely one of my favorite texts of Scripture. Oh, that you will be able to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God, says the NIV. Listen to it slightly differently in the Message. You will be able to take in the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth, test its length, plumb its depths, rise to the heights, and live full lives, full in the fullness of God. Oh, to know God and to know His love for you is such an enriching part of who we are. God is love. We see that so clearly. God's love is sacrificial. God's love is self-giving. God's love is unconditional. God's love is eternal. God's love is holy. God's love is comforting, and God's love is most certainly life-changing. And most of us long to be people who are capable of showing love toward our spouses and our children and our church family and unsaved acquaintances and, of course, to God Himself. But we can find this very difficult and almost impossible outside of the knowledge that we ourselves are loved. But brethren, listen to that. God is love, and He loves you. Your outlook could be, why should I be loving towards others when I don't particularly feel loved by others? Well, let me say to you, God's love changes that. It flips that on the head. Because I've come to experience that you don't need to love somebody. You don't need to, truly love that person in that way because you've experienced God's love. And because of God's love, you can demonstrate that love to somebody else. Because I am loved of God. I am a child of God with purpose in my life. When we do indeed grasp the true love of God, we can extend this love to others. This is perfect love. The Scripture this morning calls us to love one another. And look, I reckon if John can use the word love so many times, I can get away with using it a number of times this morning as well. I think it's unavoidable. So please don't get sick of that word. We are here to love one another, so that we are closer as community. And one of the ways in which we do that, I mean, if we look at verse 12, it says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. This is perfect love. God's love is made complete. Or love has been, if you read the King James, and the King James is your preferred version, you would see that it says God's love is perfect, or it is perfected. And this word here, perfected, carries within it the context, this idea of maturity and of completeness, hence that translation in the NIV. In the Greek, he re-emphasizes this word. He says, your love is made complete. But you know, he doesn't just say your love is made complete. Now, I don't know the Greek, and I don't pretend to know the Greek. But I don't even know what the grammatical expression is of that. I tried to look this up in some of my just faffing around while I was busy doing this sermon. What is a grammatical expression, if there is some, when you put two of the very same words one after another? Come on, where are the scholars out here? He says here that your love is not just complete, it is completely complete. He doesn't just say it's perfect, it is perfectly perfect. Now come and tell me what that grammatical expression is afterwards, please, because it is absolutely frying my brain. But this is it. God's love, our love for him, and his love for us makes our love perfectly complete. How do we live in love? How does this love become complete? Well, it's the circle, isn't it? God loves us. We love God. And in so doing, we love others. That is love. Perfectly perfect and completely complete. Mature love. So which is most important, loving God or loving your neighbor? I think Jesus would answer, yes. If you ask him this question, I think you're missing the point, because Jesus, there are two sides of the very same coin. Your love for God will be expressed by your love for others, and your love for others will give expression to your love for God. The two are absolutely inseparable. God says we cannot truly love him unless we love our brothers. Man, I don't know how that sits with you. But that doesn't make for easy reading. I mean, listen to these words. These are not my words, so I make no apology for them. These are not my words. If anyone says, I love God, and yet he hates his brother, these are the words I stumbled over earlier. I love God, yet hates his brother. He is a liar. For anyone who does not love God, love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. Beloved, that's God's word, not mine. And it makes it very clear. In order for me to love God, really love God in an experiential way, I need to love you also. And you need to love me. We need to love one another. Great big loving happy family of love. But this comes back to that first command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. And then later in John's Gospel he says, a new command I give you is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart. But so you must love one another. By this will all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Very interesting, isn't it? Very interesting indeed. God says that we need to, if we cannot truly love him unless we love one another. No one has ever seen God. But the one and only Son, who is himself God, and his closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. No one has ever seen God until Jesus came and made the invisible God visible in that incarnation. The incarnation of Jesus made the invisible visible. Now here's the thing that I think sometimes we miss, church. Is that now we are the body of Christ on earth. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his voice. And we are the ones who will then carry out that love. We carry out the work of the incarnation and make the invisible God visible. Ken, did you think for a moment that you were part of the incarnation story? We make the invisible God visible through the way in which we demonstrate our lives. There's all sorts of love. Mark mentioned it earlier, and I've written a couple down here this morning. There's that eros love, which is specifically associated with romantic love and sensual love. This is the kind of love that he's talking about. What does the love look like? Well, it looks like this. And there's four love languages generally. Well, depending on who you read. Let's just stick to the four love languages. There's this Eros love, which is that romantic love. And it's Valentine's Day coming up soon, guys. Hopefully you got your cards prepped. I've got mine prepped. I'll tell you what. I found a cracking card for Jenny coming up to Valentine's Day. And I think after 26 years of marriage, Jen, you haven't seen this card. Look away. No, look away, Jen. The screen. Sam, show them what I'm about to give her for Valentine's Day. This is awesome. Absolutely brilliant. Sam, put that off before Jenny sees it. Thanks. There's that romantic love, which maybe some of you will experience later again in this month. They, you know, they say in the beginning of, I've heard this one said at the beginning, at the beginning of marriage, opposites attract. Later in the marriage, opposites attack. Hopefully it's not like that with you. But there's Eros love, there's also Storge love, which is familiar love. Love between mother and child, and father and son, and children to parents. There's this familiar love. There's also Phileo love, which is friendship love, which is deeply rooted in emotions and in feelings, where people are just so gushy and lovable and want to hug one another, and you want to do everything together because of all the things that you have in context with one another, and there's that love. But there is that agape love, which is unconcerned with self, unconcerned with how it affects you in terms of your emotions. Agape love is born not out of emotions or feelings, or familiarity or attraction, but it is born from will and choice. Agape love requires faithfulness, commitment, and sacrifice without expecting anything in return. That sacrificial love that Christ has demonstrated on the cross for us, how do we know that he loves us? By sending his Son. And if we are to be followers of Christ, we need to follow in his way, and we need to take his example. And so therefore, our love for one another is self-sacrificial. It is a way that doesn't demand something from you. When we think of love, it's easy to think about the good feelings. But real love is not dependent on feelings. It is more to do with not how I feel about someone, like romantic love, with your spouse or a co-worker or the other loves that we've spoken about. But it's that agape love. Sorry, I'm just trying to filter through some of my stuff here, because as per usual, I've got way too much information, and I'm trying to filter out all the stuff. I'll tell you, God's done a full whammy on me again over the past 2 weeks trying to put this sermon together. But it is something that is very real to my own heart as well. And I say that with a bit of a joy in my spirit, but it's been tough work preparing this week. Anyway, I'll try and get through some of this, because I've got an illustration I want to share with you as well, and hopefully we'll have time for that. But what does this love look like? What greater example is there in 1 Corinthians 13, where it says, love is long-suffering and kind. It does not envy, it does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely, it does not seek its own, it is not provoked, it thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth and bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Is that not the love that we should be sharing with one another? And folks, the scripture is clear here this morning. We need to, in this community, we need to love one another. We need to guard the friendships that we have. We need to if there's any fractious relationships or broken down relationships, we need to restore those, because it is not of God to not have those restored. We need to be in a relationship in that we are loving one another. And I'm very well aware that sometimes that is difficult. And I do not presume to stand here saying to you, it's all a bed of roses. I get it. Love can be tough, and love can hurt. But I think the reality is, when we become closer as community, and that's, I guess, why sometimes love can hurt, because we get closer to one another. And in fact, the closer we get, the more opportunity there is to hurt one another, because we just let it all hang out. We become real with one another. But we still need to guard ourselves. That is love. I think sometimes, I'm going to move this aside, I think sometimes the devil wants us to have those fractured relationships. He wants us, how are we doing for time? Are you guys still with me, or is anybody kind of going, I'm struggling here? We all good? Okay, great, because I need another couple of minutes. I think that we need to learn continually to love one another in this community. And I'm talking specifically about this community. I'm not really that concerned about outside these walls right now, just for the sake of this sermon. We will come to that. Why they now witness? We'll get there. But for now, this is about protecting the integrity and the unity and the bonds that exist between us as the family of God. And you know what? I'm going to say dumb stuff that's going to offend you, because I'm me. And I don't mean to offend you, but I'm me. And I think Satan loves this. This is the way in which he is able to just drive us apart. And by splitting us up, what God has brought together, he seeks to divide. And I've put together this little... This is supposed to be a demonstration of a garden of... Well, this represents your life. Okay, and I've got a couple of plants here I want to put on that. And these plants just demonstrate some of the people, the different people that are in your life. I'll let you decide who's who. Do you see them in your mind as I put them down? So these are just some of the plants. Succulent, just saying. Those are probably one of the things that will get me into trouble. Cactus. I've got one or two more. Do you remember this? Jay did this in the summer with the kids. Our guy's, man, I tell you, he's been neglected. He hasn't had a chop for a long time. He's seriously looking almost Rastafarian. So, except Rastafarians don't have green hair. And then you get those almost bonsai-like type people. You know what I'm getting at? You know those people that are just almost ever so perfect. I'm looking at this. Everybody's got that flamboyant, I won't move that. Everybody's got that flamboyant, colorful person in their life. Larger than life person. You've got those in your life as well, don't you? Okay, so this represents your life and the garden. Nikki, will you come and join me? Gavin, will you come and join me? I want them just to help me do this demonstration this morning. So, these two are in love, and they have been in love for a long time now. They've been married for how many years?
Nine.
Is that long already? Goodness me. So, they love each other. They love each other. But you know what? Satan doesn't love the fact that they love each other. He wants to divide them. He reckons if he can divide, he can conquer. But they love each other. They think, Love is all that, and Valentine's Day and all the rest, and romantic love and all that, but Satan doesn't, he doesn't think so. He has different plans for them. He wants to keep them apart, and he wants to split them up. And he doesn't come announcing that saying, Gav, I want to make sure you guys fight this week. He just lets it be. So, you know, this is the way it starts. This is the life, and these posts, I spoke about offenses earlier. Gav, have you ever offended Nikki?
All the time.
He's my man. Next, have you ever offended Gavin?
No.
Never. Ken. Gav, can we do a trade? She's looking very attractive to me all of a sudden.
Pinocchio.
These fence posts represent the offenses in our lives. And these guys will offend one another. They will absolutely offend one another in their relationship. They don't mean to. They wouldn't start out to be because they want to be, come on, they want to be together. They want to be together. But Satan doesn't want them together. And they will offend one another. And so as the relationship goes on, now Nikki, I've got no idea what happens in your home. But Nikki comes in, okay, hold that offense because you're about to be offended. Nikki comes in with parcels all the way up her arm, having just done the shopping. This is one of her greatest enjoyments in life, shopping, is it? I don't know, not really. She comes in with all the stuff, and of course, Gavin looks at that and he just thinks, oh my word, what's going on here? And she goes, don't worry, love. I've bought it on credit card. Great. And Gavin's thinking, I work so hard, Gav, come on, let's put that in there. I work so hard, nobody thinks about me, nobody cares about me, everybody's just fussed about, Nikki doesn't worry how hard I have to work to pay the bills, she couldn't be concerned. Now, look, I have no idea, I'm not suggesting, this is not what it is. I have no idea. But Gavin's trying to sleep, and all he can think of is the money that he needs to make, the extra shifts that he needs to make up in order to get this done. And so the offenses come. And Nikki, for her birthday, is she's used to being spoiled when she grew up as a kid. But of course, Gavin, for them, birthdays weren't a big deal until they got home at night. But it all happened for Nikki and them in the morning when they made this big fuss. But he just gives her a kiss and says, see you later, darling. What do you call her?
A lot of things.
Hopefully only good things, Gav. And Nikki's pretty much fizzing because she reckons, he hasn't really even paid attention to the fact that this has been my birthday. And he's lost this concept entirely. And so she herself is stewing on an offense. And Nikki, would you just... Anyway, we'll just pick a spot, any spot. And so the relationship goes on. And I need to cut this short because I am over time. And there's these constant things that are going on in that relationship that we cause an offense with some people. And so the offenses go up. I didn't ask for permission to share this offense, and this has got nothing to do with Gavin and nothing to do with Nikki. But I think of myself with Jenny and driving. Jenny hates it when I'm in the car with her and she's driving. Is anybody else like that out there? There we go. So you feel Jenny's pain. I know what it is. I just cannot sit next to my lovely wife and keep my mouth shut or my hands to myself. I mean, I never touch the wheel or anything, but I've always got a better way of driving. Not the fact, forgetting the fact that she's probably driven on her own for 20 odd years, 5 years or longer, and never caused an accident. I've always got a better way of doing it. And she's sort of thinking, well, you know, if If you think there's a better way of driving, there's another seat that you can sit in. So she's offended. And so the relationship goes on. And there's one offense after another. Nikki, I don't know what's offending you, but you're probably still stewing over that thing that happened 4 months ago when Gavin didn't pay much attention to you when he was supposed to take you out. Gav, can you help us out here? We're just going to keep putting these fence posts in because I'm going to cut short some of the things I was planning on saying. And so we get these fence posts and all the little offences, the things that are said, the things that are done behind closed doors, the things that they don't mean to offend one another over, and it becomes this scenario where they create this offence. And what happens is, eventually, what happens is, this is how it is. This is how the relationship is. There is that divide, what God has put together has now been divided because of an offense. And we are excellent at taking an offense. And I say we, maybe I shouldn't say we, maybe I should say I can be prone to that because I'm soft natured and I can take an offense. But Gav's going, Nikki, why don't we ever speak to one another anymore? Why don't we ever talk to one another anymore? But that's because of all the little offences that creates that barrier between the two of them. And so, this is the offence. Gav, you can come and stand around here. But the reality is, if only we can find a way to move past the offences. And there was a way, in fact, that our offences were dealt with. There was a very clear way in which our offences were dealt with. And Jesus did this on the cross, where he had the greatest reason to be offended. And in spite of us, his unconditional love for us, he has said, I will forgive you. And one of the things that we need to do with regard to these offenses, when they come, we cannot decide, I'm really wrapping up now, I'm sorry guys, I'm sorry I'm so long. We cannot decide who's going to hand us what. You cannot be sure what Nikki's going to say to you, and she cannot be sure what you're going to say and do to her. But the reality is we can decide what we do with those offences. And at the end of the day, when somebody hands you an offence, the best way to deal with that is to drop it. When you feel offended by somebody, what do you do with the church? You drop it. And all these offenses that cause a barrier between people, between relationships, we need to take them and drop it. So that we as the community of God love one another. Can I just say that this illustration is not my own illustration? Obviously I've made it my own through the things that I'm saying, but it was something I saw a number of years ago. I'm always trawling on YouTube, listening to sermons and things like that, and it's something that I came across many years ago at Elevation Church, actually, with Stephen Furtick. So I take no glory for that illustration, but I think it vividly portrays what happens here. Church, let us love one another. Let us love one another. You Isn't that true? Let us pray. Father God, we just pray, Lord, as a church community, that we would become closer, not only in fellowship, not only as feeling part of the belonging of the family of God, but knowing and experiencing the love of God, giving the love and sharing the love that we can with others around about us. Father, 9 years in now, these guys are married. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to protect that relationship between Gavin and Nikki, that you would nurture them, that you would enable them to love one another and to grow in relationship with one another. Lord, offenses will come even into their lives. Father, we pray that they would be forgiving. Lord, it takes two people to make reconciliation, and we pray that for them, they would just know that sense of God's empowerment in their lives. They would know God's love, and they would just love one another all the more. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.